You're listening to Drop of Inspiration, a Young Living podcast. Join me for leadership lessons, conversations with Young Living influencers, and an inside perspective on our company. I'm your host, Trent Morrison. Let's get inspired. If you haven't had time to get to know Brian Clay, now's your chance. He's a gold medalist, a world-class athlete, and a Young Living brand ambassador. Since it's the season of sports, we invited him on Drop of Inspiration to talk about the ways he got inspired, what helped him push through challenges, and the legacy he hopes to leave. Welcome, Brian, to Drop of Inspiration.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I want to give you some time to introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background about, you know, who you are, where you come from, those types of things.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Hawaii. I was born in Texas, grew up in Hawaii. My mom's side of the family lived there. You know, I always say when I was growing up, I wasn't the best kid, made a lot of bad decisions and, you know, got involved with the wrong crowds and things like that, and kind of started having my life head down the wrong path. As that was going on, my parents got divorced, and that added a little bit of craziness to my early years. My mom ended up getting remarried soon after my parents got divorced, and so that added another element of craziness to my life. And through all of that, my mom got me involved in counseling, and the counselor told her that she needed to get me involved in a sport, and so that's kind of how I started to get involved in track and field. And the rest was kind of history. I went on to win four events at the state meet my senior year in Hawaii, and then went on to get a college scholarship to run track and field as a decathlete at the Azusa Pacific University out in Southern California. And from there, I kept my collegiate coaches after my collegiate career into my professional career. Went on to qualify for my first world championship team at the age of 21. Qualified and won my first Olympic medal, a silver medal in Athens when I was 24, at the 2004 games, and then went on to win the 2005 world championships. And there's a few medals here and there in between all of that. And then, of course, culminating my career with a win at the games in Beijing in 2008.
It sounds like your start was kind of maybe a push from your mom and, you know, kind of that area. But was there anything else that really helped you decide to start your journey as a decathlete? And what inspired competing in the decathlon versus any other event?
Well, you know, the decathlon is a funny event. I always say it's an event that chooses you. You don't choose it. And so
okay.
I know it's a little hard for people to understand that, but I think it's very rare. I mean, now you're starting to get kids that start out as a decathlete. You know, they start out and they're like, I want to do the decathlon, and that's what they do. When I was getting introduced to track and field, it wasn't about the decathlon. I didn't even know what the decathlon was. For me, it's an event that just fit my personality. It was something that kept the challenges coming. You know, for me, I like challenges. I love problem solving. I love being strategic, and I love learning. And that's what the decathlon is. You have to be strategic. You are constantly learning. There's no way around that. You know, the challenges never stop. If it's not one of the events that's challenging you, it's the weather. If it's not the weather, it's your health. If it's not your health, it's something else. You know, emotions or your spirituality. I mean, there's always something that's challenging you and trying to tell you that you're not good enough, that you can't make it, that you can't do it. And I when I was younger, I would thrive on that. I thrived on beating the odds. I still love trying to beat the odds, but I'm just getting a little older and moving a little slower now. So I've had to get a little smarter about it.
So, like you said, there were a few moments growing up that maybe were a little bit tougher, but are there any lessons that you've learned from your family and kind of where you came from that help you become the athlete you are today?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, growing up, you know, I shared that my parents got divorced. My dad was in the picture, you know, from a fairly young age, I think from about fifth or sixth grade on. And my mom is Japanese. My dad's African American, but my Japanese side of the family is who we grew up with. And so I had a very strict Japanese grandfather. And my grandfather, if you know anything about Japanese culture, excellence is something that goes hand in hand with the Japanese culture. And it's excellence in everything that you do. And so when I would work for my grandfather, because he had a business that he had founded in Hawaii, when I would go and work for him, I was expected to do jobs and I was expected to do them excellently. And, you know, good enough was never something that was allowed to be said about my effort. And so I like to believe that my kind of level of excellence that I was always striving for in my sport was because of the upbringing that I got from my grandfather. I also think that just life in general, when things aren't always, you know, fun and exciting and happy, you learn to start to compartmentalize. You learn to have something bad happen in life and go, okay, well, that's that. And then, you know, move on to the next thing. And you don't allow that to affect, you know, the rest of your day or you know, or even at all, the emotions that you have at all. You just kind of become hard and learn how to do that. I believe that part of my life growing up and the struggles and the things that I had to work through were things that helped me learn to compartmentalize and helped me to learn how to deal with a bad event that I might have had in the decathlon and not have that affect all 10 of my other events. At the same time, it learned how to, taught me how to take a good event that I had and not allow that to affect all of the other 9 events. And so, so I think just life, taught me a lot of things in terms of those and gave me some skills, that I use in the decathlon, as I was competing. And then I think the decathlon in general has just taught me, in life in general has taught me, a lot of life lessons that I use in parenting, that I use, in my marriage, in my relationships. It's just never ending what you can learn from sport. And it's, I think it's why the counselor told my mom that if you want Brian to be around and you don't want to find him dead or in jail somewhere, then you need to get him involved in sports, because he understood what sports could do in the life of a kid like me.
As you were starting, you mentioned, right, you kind of started with track. You didn't quite know what the decathlon was. When the decathlon chose you, as you like to say, was there somebody who inspired you at the beginning to, you know, be the best, whether it was another decathlete, whether it's one of your coaches or, you know, maybe even your grandpa? Was there someone who inspired you at the beginning?
You know, I don't know. That's a hard question for me to answer. I, you know, a lot of people will ask me, did you have a someone you looked up to? Did you have a hero? And the honest to God truth was I didn't have a hero.
Okay.
I looked up to whoever was winning and making the most money and was living the lifestyle
okay.
that I thought was the lifestyle I wanted to live. And that's just the honest truth. Then
yeah.
Again, this is when I first started. So you're talking, you know, 18-year-old kid that is coming away from home and is rebelling and wants to do everything his way, and thinks that the world works one way and it all revolves around him.
Sure.
And so I had a lot of learning and maturing to do. And as I grew up, as I matured and began to learn what it meant to be a man and what came along with that and how to be in this world and make it in this world, those thoughts and those things started to change. And I started to look up to people that I had, you know, sporting heroes who had done things that I wanted to do, and I would study them and say, okay, you know, they did this, so I'm going to do this, and they did that, so I'm not going to do that. And those were just the heroes of the sport. So you have like the legends in the sport that I grew up watching, right? So you've got the Carl Lewis's, you've got Dan O'Brien, you've got Dave Johnson, who was actually had gone to my alma mater, Azusa Pacific. And you've got, like, you know, all these people that had gone before me. I remember watching Michael Johnson in 1996, you know, those guys. But I looked up to them because they won and because of the excellence that they achieved on the track. What I had to start doing was I had to start looking at, okay, in life off the track, who is it that I look up to? And so people like my coaches started to play a big role in that. People like just mentors that I would have throughout my time, and that list would change as you know, as people rose and as they would fall. But I've had, I guess what I'm trying to say is I've had many people that I've looked up to at different times and through different scenarios for different reasons. And they all have played a role in I would say my success and my life today.
I think that's a really cool way of looking at, you know, inspiration and the natural ways that it progresses and changes and adapts for what exactly you need.
Mm-hmm.
We're delighted to have Brian Clay, gold medalist and Wild brand ambassador on Drop of Inspiration today. We're going to take a quick break to hear some awesome tips from our education and training team.
Hello, this is Haley Jensen, Young Living's training and education manager. Recently, Young Living brand ambassadors came together and designed a new combination of products perfect for Young Living lovers and exercise enthusiasts alike. The Active and Fit Kit is a convenient way to carry and include Young Living products into your fitness routine. This kit includes some of our favorite products to use during or after a workout. Cool Azul Sports Gel, Deep Relief, RC, Thieves, and Copaiba essential oils, as well as Peppermint Vitality essential oil. It also includes 3 Aromaglide roller fitments and a product information card. But the best part? All of these products come packaged together in a nylon case that has 7 interior mesh pockets, perfect for storing your essential oils safely, an exterior pocket for easy access to a Young Living sleek bar or any snack of your choice, and a carabiner for quick attachment to any gym bag. Young Living's Cool Azul Sports Gel is formulated with an impressive 10% of pure essential oils in every single tube, a much higher percentage than most of our competitors, making it very concentrated and very effective. Unlike other products on the market, Cool Azul is formulated with an aloe vera base, so it's also hydrating to your skin. A huge thing for me is that this product is clean and has naturally derived plant-based ingredients. Cool Azul has many unique and powerful ingredients, including white willow extract, camphor, plectranthus oregano, and Dorado Azul. Both of these essential oils are grown at our Ecuador farm. This product has a cool, lightweight consistency, easily absorbs, and doesn't feel heavy on your skin. The non-greasy gel is a huge plus because it won't leave your clothes feeling sticky. No matter what your training or fitness level, Cool Azul Sports Gel is a perfect choice for physical activity. Deep Relief is one of my favorite oils to take with me to the gym when I'm exercising outdoors or even to throw in your child's gym bag. It's already pre-diluted with coconut oil and comes in a roll-on bottle, so it's easy and convenient to apply. Its fresh aroma is both invigorating and relaxing, and it's great for a massage after or during activity. Blended with peppermint, lemon, Idaho balsam fir, copaiba, clove, wintergreen, helichrysum, vetiver, and Palo Santo essential oils, Deep Relief creates a cooling sensation when applied topically, and it feels amazing. Copaiba is a versatile essential oil and known for its very powerful constituents. Apply Copaiba topically to desired areas as needed and enjoy the sweet aroma. RC Essential Oil Blend is a unique combination of cypress, spruce, and 3 types of eucalyptus essential oils and includes the naturally occurring constituent limonene. Rub RC on your feet or chest before jumping on the treadmill or grabbing your weights to uplift and inspire. When it's time to wind down, massage your feet to encourage an atmosphere of comfort that can help you get ready for tomorrow's workout. RC can also be used in place of aromaceys in Young Living's raindrop technique. With the many benefits of Thieves essential oil, its cleaning power, and its irresistibly spicy scent, you may never know when you'll need its versatility. I love placing a few drops of Thieves in my running shoes or rubbing my feet after yoga. This makes it perfect to keep on hand in your fit kit. Along with supporting your digestive system, Peppermint Vitality may support performance during exercise. Simply add to your drink or take in a capsule. I recommend adding a couple drops to your Nitro or Ninxarud before a workout. The Active and Fit Kit supports fitness routines at every level, from a daily workout to elite competition. The products included can be used interchangeably throughout your entire exercise routine, from pre-workout to warm-up, cool-down, or even post-workout. Give the Active and Fit Kit a try and take your workout to the next level.
Thanks for those tips, Haley. We want to get all of you using this great kit, so we're giving away 4 Active and Fit Kits to our listeners. head over to youngliving.com/podcast to get the full details. Now, let's get back to our interview with Brian Clay. So, Brian, do you have any rituals or things that you have to do before every single competition?
Oh, gosh. You know, when I was competing, you know, I could never go out without a fresh haircut. And, you know,
back then, I like that.
Back then, you know, like I would shave my legs because we were always wearing tights. And so, you know, I'd have my legs shaved. I didn't shave them, you know, big smooth, but I would, you know, use the clippers and trim them down so the hair was real short. But yeah, those were kind of things that I had to do. We tried if we could, my coach and I early on, one of the meets that I was really successful at as a young decathlete, we had eaten at Outback the night before. And so any chance that we had where there was an Outback, we would find an Outback and have our, you know, pre-competition meal. And I mean, we literally did it at like every meet, and luckily there's an Outback just about everywhere.
Yeah. So that can stay a tradition.
Yep, exactly. I mean, even I remember being in foreign countries and eating at Outback. So, it's kind of fun, little tradition that we had. And then other than that, it was just praying. It was waking up in the morning. I would listen to, what a lot of people, you know, maybe find puzzling. But I would listen to worship music. And I always tell people the reason why I would do that is because it calmed me and it got me to the right place mentally, physically, or mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, for me to go out and do the job that I needed to do. You know, for a lot of people, they like to get really jazzed up and get excited and jump around and scream and yell and do all these types of things before they go into a big competition. For me, it was more about a centering. It was more about, you know, getting every part of myself lined up and at the right place to go out and you know, achieve these great feats. And so it was more about, like I said, centering and concentrating and meditating and getting myself, you know, dialed in. And so I would listen to worship music and that would help get me to that place. And then, I would, you know, do a lot of praying and a lot of just kind of talking. If that's, you know, I call it praying, but some people might just call it talking, but, you know, just talking to God. And, you know, if a thought came in, I would kind of talk under my breath or a little bit out loud. And I'd have this constant conversation as I was jogging around the track or I was getting warmed up, about just, you know, different things. And sometimes I was answering my own questions or, you know, having a conversation with myself. And other times I was having this conversation with God. And those were the types of things that I did every time before a track meet. And I think that's why I was able to be as successful as I was.
So decathletes, you know, you compete in 10 events, which, you know, for me, I can't even imagine. But what does your training schedule look like for that? And, you know, how do you stay motivated?
Yeah, so when I was training, you know, doing it full time, I was training somewhere in the range of, you know, 6 to 7 hours a day. And that was 5 or 6 days a week, depending on the time of year. And so that's basically what I did. Yeah. I did, you know, 2 hours of weight training in the morning. And then I'd take a little break and then I'd go out to the track and I would train for, you know, another 4 hours. Sometimes even 5 hours, depending on, again, the time of year, what we had to do. What I always liked to do in my training was I liked to make training harder than the competition would ever be.
Okay.
And so on a daily basis, I was challenging myself and I was taking myself to the limits of what I was capable of doing physically, emotionally, spiritually, so that when the meet came, I was prepared for anything. And so that was kind of one of the secrets we did. But along with that, you know, you tend to flirt with this line between overtraining and training the hardest that you ever could. And there were a lot of times I stepped over that line and so it would result in injuries and I'd have to deal with those and come back from those and that sort of thing. But that's the gamble you take, you know, as an athlete.
So what, you know, as an athlete for so many years, what's been one of the hardest moments you've had? And, you know, kind of what helped you get past that hurdle?
I would say one of the hardest moments I've had as an athlete was transitioning away from being an athlete. you know, I think that that's something that as an athlete, we don't always think about. And I think a lot of times that the common misconception is that, oh, you know, Brian's an athlete, or, oh, these athletes, they've got it all, you know, all together. They've gone out, they've trained, and they've reached the pinnacle of their success, and they've made enough money to live happily ever after. And that's just not the case for most athletes. There are a few, and there are a few sports that pay their athletes very, very well. And the type of money that they're making is life-changing. And they walk away having put, you know, millions and millions of dollars in the bank, and they're good for the rest of their life. That wasn't my story. I did very well in track and field, but not so well that I don't have to work for the rest of my life. And so one of the main things that I had to figure out was when I was done, when I felt like my career was over and it was time to start a new chapter of my life, the thing that was so hard is, what am I going to do now? You know, I remember having a moment after winning the gold medal where I woke up the morning after my competition and I thought to myself, well, I had this really great dream, and I dreamt that I had won the gold medal, and I was like, wait a second. And I kind of realized where I was. And so I looked over onto my nightstand and I see the medal sitting there, and I was like, oh, it wasn't a dream. And I remember as I realized that, I kind of grabbed my medal and I looked at it again, in the daylight. And I walked to the window and I looked out my apartment window down at the street in Beijing. And I realized that the world didn't stop. It just kept on going. And there were millions of people walking those streets in Beijing who had no idea who I was, what I was about, and honestly didn't even care. And that was a very sobering thought for me. And so I had to come to grips with, one, like, what's the point? You know, that was one question I remember asking myself, like, gold medal, well, what's the point? Like, nobody cares. And two, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Every single day up until that point, I had lived with a purpose. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do and how I was going to do it. And all of a sudden now, I had a choice. I didn't have to have my life be that way anymore. And life was going to look very different. And so it took me a little while to figure that out. But I will say that one of the things that has helped me through that, is my relationship with Young Living. I know it sounds funny and it maybe doesn't make sense to a lot of people, but the idea that I was able to take what I worked so hard for, to take some of the skills, and the lessons and the things that I've learned over my, you know, career, and bring those to a company like Young Living, and lend my expertise, on a corporate level as a brand ambassador, but then also, have the opportunity to build a small business of my own. That has been a huge, huge help.
Kind of the penultimate moment, right? I'm sure, you know, you're standing on the podium, gold medal around your neck, and the U.S. national anthem's playing. What was that like for you? And was it what you imagined, or how was it different?
The moment that you're standing on the podium is a special moment.
Yeah.
I remember standing on the podium when I won the silver medal, and I remember I was just a little lower than the guy that won the first medal, who's a friend of mine. And that didn't bother me so much because I had had a great meet. I had personal best. You know, I really couldn't be upset with the way that I performed. But the part that bothered me was when they started to play the national anthem. And I forgot in that moment that that the U.S. national anthem wouldn't be played, that it was going to be the Czech Republic national anthem. And that was, I didn't expect that. That was something that just kind of hit me, and I was like, oh, you know, that's not cool. Like, you know, I want the U.S. national anthem to be played. And there was something that welled up inside of me, this pride that was starting to well up inside of me that was like, I don't like that. I mean, I was respectful, and it's not that I didn't like the other national anthem. It's just I wanted the U.S. national anthem to be played. And so I remember thinking to myself, the next time I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that, that the U.S. national anthem is played when I'm standing on the podium, and that the U.S. flag is just a little bit higher than the other flags there. And again, it wasn't out of disrespect. It was just out of pride for who I was and my country. And so when you're standing on that that top platform for me, and the national anthem starts, and you start to see these flags raise up, and they're kind of tiered based on how you finish, and the U.S. flag is a little higher than the other two flags that are there, and nobody else's national anthem gets played, and all eyes from all countries, all TV cameras and all TV stations across the world are showing you the U.S. flag and hearing the U.S. national anthem. There is something that is so special about that. And the amount of pride that you feel knowing that you did something for your country, and that the whole country is proud of you, and that the whole world is envious of you, and is cheering for you. There are very few things that could ever compare. And so it was just a really special moment for me when I was up there experiencing that.
I like that you used your pride kind of as this catapult for even more motivation. You know, when you receive the silver, which is an amazing accomplishment, but you use that, you know, as a catapult for motivation to, like you said, like to have that step further and to experience that. And it sounds like, I mean, an incredible moment.
Yeah, it was amazing. It really was.
Today we heard Brian Clay's amazing story. He's a decorated champion with multiple gold medals in the decathlon, winners of which are often called the world's greatest athletes. Since Young Living is a world leader in essential oils, we're thrilled to have him on our team as one of our brand ambassadors. If you're like us, you're definitely feeling inspired after hearing Brian's story. So don't forget to share the Why I Love by posting this episode on your social media pages and in your team updates. And remember, head over to youngliving.com/podcast to listen to other episodes and to get the full details on our Active and Fit Kit giveaway.
Thanks for joining us on Drop of Inspiration, a Young Living podcast. I'm your host, Trent Morrison. Until next time.